Such a cool thing. So today we're continuing in our series. We're in the middle of the series, When I Grow Up, Building a Family Legacy. And what we're talking about is kind of what you saw in the video. Like, how can we be that someone? How can we be that person who reaches back or who pours out who we are for the sake of someone else? For the sake of people who are coming behind us. The thing is, one of the things that I was thinking about is we're all building some kind of legacy. We've been talking about that. All of us are building some kind of legacy, even today. And a legacy is kind of a big thing we're not always talking about, right? But I want you to know that a legacy is not just, you're not just building a legacy when you're a grandmother or a grandfather. You're not just building a legacy when you're a parent or when you're married or when you graduate from college. You're building a legacy. If you're a kid in this room, if you're a student, you're building a legacy. You're building a family legacy. In fact, you're part of living the story that you want your family to tell. You know, and so that's what we're talking about in this series. We're asking, how can we, instead of unintentionally drifting on in our lives, how can we pass down a God-shaped legacy to our family or to people around us? And over the last couple weeks, we started with our relationship with God. We talked about how the number one legacy we can build is to build faith into our family, right? Like, our family can't come into a relationship with Jesus on the coattails of our, you know, of our parents' faith, you know? We got to make a decision for ourselves. But, man, I'm so thankful for the legacy that's been left in my life of my, not only my grandparents, but my great-grandparents who passed it down to their, you know, their kids and their kids and on to me. And I've grown up knowing of God's love and what it means to follow God. That's that's the best legacy you can leave. And then last week, we focused on how God wants us to also be a part of loving our family well. We can leave a legacy by loving our family well, and we talked about that. But today I want to focus on another value that I believe God wants you to build into your life and to build into the lives of your family. And it's this: to have a purpose that's bigger than you. To have a purpose that's bigger than you. And the two biggest ways that we discover how we can have a purpose that's bigger than us is by serving others and through generosity. Like, these are the two biggest ways. Basically, what does it look like to give ourselves away for the sake of God and for the sake of others? That's how we discover a purpose bigger than us. Maybe you've noticed this, but we live in a selfie-centered world. Y'all remember when selfies first came out? Y'all remember, you know, I used to joke around, and I like to pretend that I know nothing about technology. Like, I pretend to be like this, like, old man, you know, to my kids and my family. I just think it's funny. And so when my sister, who just went off to college, when she's like, hey, let's take a selfie, and I was like, you mean a Meesie, you know? Like, and then when we get together, it's a Weesie, you know? It's like all of us together. Anyway, as I like to say stuff like that so they don't think that I know what I'm talking about, which I don't. But anyway, we live in a selfie-centered world. And you remember when selfies, maybe when they first came out, at first it was just about getting you, yourself, in the picture with some incredible background. But then there was all these inventions that came out to improve your selfie etiquette, right? And there was this amazing invention called the selfie stick. How many of you had a selfie stick? Any of you had that? Yeah, some of you had a selfie stick, right? And a selfie stick was like, it's not good enough to just, you know, have your arm distance and to take your picture behind the Grand Canyon or something else, right? You had to have an extender, right, where you could press the button and take your picture, and you could have the best selfie in the world, right? Well, it was funny, I was reading about how Disney World had to ban them because I guess people were taking them, these selfie sticks, up on rides and roller coasters with metal above you doesn't mix, you know? So just imagine the stories that these people could probably tell. But the truth is, we live in a selfie-centered world where we're taught as early as we can remember that everything in our lives revolves around me. We're taught to believe that everything is about me. And if you don't believe that, if you're a parent, man, all you got to do is have kids. You see that really quickly. I remember when my kids were born, they're such sweet little babies, right? But you see their mindset as soon as they're born, the thing that they cry out for is, feed me, help me, comfort me, right? It's a selfie-centered world. We're all born into this. And we're all taught to believe that it revolves around us. And you see this so many times. The moment somebody's born, what happens is we get so focused on our own needs and wants and wishes, And oftentimes we're blinded to the needs and wants and wishes of others. We can't see it sometimes. In fact, just walk into a 2-year-old preschool class and you'll see that one of the most famous phrases that you'll hear is mine, 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 right? This is mine, right? But ironically, this selfie-centered idea is not just something that once we get older, it just kind of goes away. The truth is, it doesn't just change with age automatically. In fact, all you got to do is look on social media. And I love social media. But look on social media at what people post and what people share. And 99% of the time, it will be something about me, right? And so we post about things, and people will share this same mindset. Life revolves around me. And I love connecting on social media. It's just a tool, right? It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying get off social media. It's just interesting to watch people's lives. It's a picture of people's lives. And the funny thing is, the brilliance and the power of social media is not really about technology. Did you know that? It's not really about technology. What it's really about is they figured out how we're wired. They figured out what drives us, and they designed your profile where you get to be the center of your own social network, right? Where your friends and your activities and your events, everything revolving around you. This is great. I love this, right? And so you kind of see that. And somewhere along the way in our lives, and especially in our families, somewhere along the way, if you want to be happy and if you want to find a purpose that's bigger than you, you've got to be shown a better way, that there's a better way than living just for me. In fact, the truth is, God has a purpose for your life that is way bigger than you, and God wants you to be a part of that. In fact, God wants you to see that you have a purpose that's bigger than just serving you and what you want and what you need, but you can be part of what God is wanting to do in your life and through your life in the world. In fact, here's what Rick Warren once said in The Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren wrote this famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and the first line in this, before we read this quote, the first line is like not what you normally tell people if you want to influence people. The line says, it's not about you. It's like, whoa, somehow that was a bestseller, right? It's not about you. And then here's what he said. He said, you are made by God and for God's purposes. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. We're made not just for us, but we're made for God and his purposes. And so this is, I think, one of the best things that we can build into our family, into our life, and to pass it down is to teach our families to have a purpose that's bigger than us and bigger than them. But instead to learn how to do that by serving others and through generosity. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read a lot of different scriptures, so you can just follow along today on the screen. But Matthew chapter 20, here's what Jesus said. He says, for even the Son of Man, that's Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Like, this is what Jesus modeled for us. He came to serve others and to give. And these are the two verbs that God wants us to wrap our lives around. How can we serve others? How can we give of ourselves and give of our stuff to be a part of what God wants to do in and through us? And when we do, we'll discover purpose. In fact, I want to tell you, you are put on this earth not to be a consumer, but to make a contribution. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me ask you this question. How are you serving others? How are you serving others? How might you become even more generous in your life to be a part of what God wants to do? Here's what the Apostle Paul, he was talking about this in Romans chapter 12. I want you to see it again. It's interesting. This is a theme all throughout the scriptures. Paul says this to us. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, basically because of what God did for you, it says, to offer your bodies or your lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He says next, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, because of all that God has done in you, because of the way Jesus has sacrificed and given his life for you, Paul is saying, don't live like everybody else in culture. Don't buy the lie of the selfie-centered life, living just for yourself. He says, look, learn how to offer your life Learn how to offer yourself back to God as a living sacrifice. Basically, give yourself away for the sake of God and for the sake of others. That's how you find purpose. Now, it's interesting. I was thinking about this passage a little more. I preached on it several times, but one thing jumped out to me when I was looking at this. It says a living sacrifice. I was thinking, why did Paul say a living sacrifice? Why didn't he say a dead sacrifice or just offer yourself as a sacrifice? And I was thinking, you know, there is a difference between a dead sacrifice and a living sacrifice, if you think about it. Now, talking about laying something on an altar and dedicating it to God. And I was thinking, if it was a dead sacrifice, right, a dead sacrifice means that whatever you lay on an altar, whatever you dedicate to God, because it's dead, it's going to stay there. Right? It's not going anywhere. It's dead, right? It just stays there. It's dedicated to God. And a lot of times, what we like to do in our lives is we like to carve out the dead things or the things that we don't want, and we dedicate those to God, right? When what Paul is saying, no, I want you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice. The crazy thing about a living sacrifice is technically it means that because it's living, that once we lay ourselves on the altar for God, once we dedicate ourselves for God, since we're living, it means that at any point in our lives, if something gets too hard, if something is kind of difficult, if maybe God starts, you know, asking something from us or for us, it means that we technically, because we are living, we can actually choose to get up off that altar of sacrifice and choose to walk away. And I think we do this over and over in our lives. We're, God, I sacrifice my life to you, and then walk away from that altar of sacrifice, right? And I think that what Paul is trying to say is, look, don't just be about a one-time sacrifice to God. And maybe you're in here today and you, sometime at a youth camp, you prayed a prayer and you committed your life to God. Or maybe in kids ministry, or maybe as an adult, you prayed a prayer and you said, God, I want to dedicate my life to you. I want to follow you. And what Paul is saying, look, that's awesome, but wait, there's more, right? What he's saying is, I want you to do this every single day, to daily choose to keep offering your life back to God and back to others, moment by moment, finding ways to give yourself away by serving others and by being generous. And I think the best way to illustrate this is to think about the picture of a consumer or a contributor. I think there's a big difference in being a consumer versus being a contributor. And as we kind of talk about this, here's what I want you to do before I explain it. I want you to be thinking throughout this message, where am I? It's a little self-inspection, and maybe you can say on a scale from 1 to 10, let's say, you know, a consumer is like a 0, like complete consumer is a 0, and let's say a 10 is like a contributor, you know, where are you in your life right now, you know? Where are you in your life? Now, nobody's a 0, we're not Satan, you know, we're not all about us all the time, right? And nobody's Jesus, nobody's a 10, so you're somewhere, you know, you're somewhere, you know, if you're Satan, like, get out of here, you know, whatever. But, and you're Jesus, you can stay, we're so glad you're here, right? But anyway, where are you, a consumer or contributor? And I think the best way to illustrate this idea is through this cup illustration. And I want you to think of your life like a cup. And the thing is, a consumer, there's a consumer mindset and a contributor mindset. A consumer mindset asks this question in everything that we do. Here's the question to ask. Will this fill my cup? You know, will this situation fill my cup? Will this new activity that we joined up with, will this fill my cup? Will this person, this relationship, will they fill my cup, right? A consumer mindset wants to know, before we take a step, before we get involved, will this fill my cup, right? And that's a good thing. We need our cup filled. We want to be happy and content and have purpose and all sorts of things. We want our cup filled. But the thing is, a consumer mindset is really all about us. And the other question it asks, beyond will this fill my cup, and if it doesn't, we don't do it. And if we think it does, we do it, right? Is what's in it for me? Like, you know, before I take a step, like maybe this means a little bit of sacrifice, but I want to know, is this going to fill my cup? What's in it for me? And this is interesting because a consumer mindset, you see this all around you, you know? In fact, a consumer mindset is always concerned about how this can fill us, that oftentimes what it means is we end up looking at people and resources, and we as really consuming, you know, we try to consume it. So what's in it for me? What happens is we consume our resources and we consume our time, and we live to even sometimes consume people as a means to an end so that they can fill our cup. You know, will this fill my cup? And the crazy thing is we bring this consumer mindset, will this fill my cup, into our relationship with God. And maybe we come to worship and we hold out our cup, which is our lives, right? We hold it up and we're like, God, I need you to fill my cup. And I hope that as you come into worship, that you don't just come in, that I hope you're praying that. God, I need you to fill me. That's nothing bad. But sometimes what we ask God is we come with a consumer mindset and we hold out our cup and we say, well, God, what I need is I need my preferences to get met today, right? I need my needs to get met today. In fact, God, you know, help the worship team to play the songs that I love and not that really weird one that's kind of, you know, happy, clappy, whatever we were doing, right? Don't play that one because I don't like that. Or you know, when I come, like, help me to hear a message that just comforts me and affirms me in the life that I'm living and never asks me to take a step, you know? And so fill my cup, you know, what's in it for me? And the thing is, I want you to know that we're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you experience God's love. But we also believe that Jesus wants to change your story. And so with Jesus' love in your life, Jesus wants to lead you somewhere else. That's what God has, that's the best God has for you, right? And so we hope you experience that. But sometimes we just want God to pour into us and to fill us with what we want. You know, my son Peyton, yesterday we were at the park and, Peyton was, there was this like, you know, there's a splash pad it's in Sugar Hill. There's a splash pad in Sugar Hill and it's great. And he was playing the splash pad. There's like these fountains going off and, you know, he looked like, you know, this like wet mongrel, you know? And then he noticed that behind the amphitheater that there's also this pond. There was a duck in it. There's a pond, and he noticed there's a fountain that's with water that's flowing in the pond. And he asked me, Daddy, why would they put a pond out there if nobody can get into it? That's a good question, right? You know, these are like the big questions in life that when you get to heaven, you know, like, God, why did they, you know? But anyway, so they built this pond, and it's not meant to swim in. It's in the middle of a pond, right? And he's thinking, like, what a waste. Like, why would they waste their money and their time building a pond? And I said, well, buddy, here's the thing. I'm glad you asked that question. Here's the thing. Water has to stay moving. In fact, did you know that if water stays stagnant, if it stops moving, like water gets really gross. It gets corrupt. It starts to get nasty. Have you ever seen those before? Those ponds where just the water's just sitting there for years, right? And I said, you know, over time, if water's not moving, it starts to get this like nasty bacteria and mold and parasites, and we'll explain that later someday. Yes, I was telling him. And mosquitoes start to take residence there. You're like, water that's stagnant, it just starts to look gross. And see, I think this is a good illustration for our purpose, because if the purpose of our life is just about getting our cups filled, if it's just about inflow and what we, you know, will this fill my cup? If the water stays stagnant in our lives, what happens? It's kind of funny. It kind of turns into that pond. In fact, I like to think of it as spiritual constipation, right? Filling up and filling up and filling up and filling up. And what happens is our lives start to look kind of bloated because we're filling up our cup and there's nothing that's outflowing to anything else. You understand? This is how our bodies are designed, right? But here's the thing. Let me also say that this also happens in our spiritual lives, in our walk with God. Some people, it's interesting. We can be studying the Bible. You know, we read the Word for 8 hours a day, right, or whatever. You're worshiping God all the time. You could have the hashtag best prayer time ever. Like, you might be the model of a devotional life, but the truth is, if you're not serving others, if you're not practicing generosity, then your spiritual life starts to look like that water in a pond that's not moving. It starts to kind of erode and get stagnant and empty and gets kind of dead. In fact, some of the meanest people I've ever met were people who knew a ton about the Bible. They just didn't live it, you know? This is why we got to be doing that. And even if good things are pouring into our lives, if we don't also pour out our cup, if we don't pour out our lives for the sake of God or for the sake of others, we start to look like that nasty, stagnant water. And, I think another way to illustrate this is in the Middle East, there's a lot of bodies of water. In fact, in the Bible, you'll read about Jesus was at different places teaching. And one of the places that Jesus taught most was the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, you can go there today. It's a real place. And in the Sea of Galilee, it is filled with life. There is so much life in the Sea of Galilee. And the reason there's so much life is because water pours into the Sea of Galilee and water flows out. But on the other hand, not too far from there is this place called the Dead Sea. And as you can guess, what do you think it looks like in there? It's kind of dead, right? There's a lot of salt in there, but it's kind of dead. And the reason is because water has poured into there, and the salty water has poured into there, but it's never pouring out. It's never flowing out to anything else, and it just starts to get nasty. And so what we need in our lives is to both inflow of what God's doing in our life, how God's filling our cup, and then to pour out our cup for other people. And that's why you weren't put on this earth to be a consumer, right? You're made to make a contribution. And a contributor is very different. A contributor, yes, they're concerned about, they know that they need God to fill our cup, right? We know we need God to fill our cup. God, fill me. God, fill me. But a contributor asks a very different question. And here's the question a contributor asks, and it's this: how can I pour out my cup? Like, yes, God, I need you to fill my cup. I know that I need your love and your power working in my life, but how can I live in such a way? How can I pour out my cup? How can I pour out my cup for God and for others? How can I be a part of something that's bigger than me? And this is the way God wants us to live, right? How can I pour out my cup? And the thing is, when it comes to this, instead of losing something, a lot of times we think, man, if I pour out what I have and who I am, then I'm going to lose something here. Like, if I give something away, then, like, man, there's not going to be enough to go around. And the truth is, when you give yourself away, you actually find life and you find purpose. That's how God wired you. And this is what God wants us to pass down to teach our families how to do this. In fact, here's a weird principle Jesus taught about in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Here's what he said. Jesus said this: for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will, it actually says, find it, will find it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will find it. And so it's kind of interesting because that's counterintuitive. But it just shows that God wants to use you to make a difference in the world and to make a difference in his kingdom. And when you do, you find life and you find purpose. You know, I think this is the value God wants us to pass down and to help our family to discover how to be a contributor. And remember that scale, you know, where are you? Where are you when it comes to your life? You know, are you a consumer, more a consumer right now? Are you more a contributor right now? Where are you? How might you take a step? You know, I think this is what we need to teach, is to teach our families to pour out their cup by serving God or serving others and giving generously. And you know how our families learn that? You know, there's a lot of things that we can just tell them, but that's not how they learn it. See, a lot of times values are not just taught, but they're caught. And this is a value that your family has to see that modeled in your life. We got to model it for our family. We got to live like that. Not just telling them what to do, you got to show them. And I think, let me just ask you this question. When it comes to serving, do you have a place to serve? Do you have an avenue to use your gifts and to serve, you know, somewhere in the church or somewhere in this community? I think sometimes we get really tripped up because we're trying to think of, like, all the ways that God has wired us and all the gifts that we have, and we're like, well, I can't seem to find the exact perfect spot. What I found the best way to find a way to serve is just to start serving with something that God is doing. Doesn't even have to be anything crazy, right? You don't have to use all your gifts, but just find a way to give yourself away for the sake of serving others. And so I want to encourage you to find a way to serve, to use your gifts, to use your time and your talents, and bring your family along with you. Show them a lifestyle of serving others. In fact, a great opportunity we have every single month here at the Fountain is our Holly Park ministry. And we love the families at Holly Park. We've been, Catherine and Bob Capp saw a need, people in this church, they saw a need several years ago in the Holly Park community. And saw it's a mobile home community incoming, lots of great families up there. And one of the things that they just saw a need, though, in that community, that you know what, there's a lot of good things going on, but man, what could happen if Jesus could intersect the stories of these families in a greater way? And so they didn't know where to start. They didn't know what to do. So they just said, you know what? We're just going to go there, and we're just going to love on those families and love on those kids. And basically they were saying, look, how can we don't even know, but how can we pour out our cup, right? How can we pour out our cup in this community? And then along the way, when they started coming to the fountain, we got wind of this ministry, and we're like, this is amazing. We want to be a part of that. And this church and you and so many people around us started saying, look, how can we join you? And how can we pour out our cup for the sake of God and for the sake of others? How can we be a part of what God's doing? And all we do is once a month we go and we play with kids and we serve dinner or lunch, whatever. We teach about Jesus a little bit, but it's just a ministry of presence. And I have to tell you, I always thought it was going to be something. It's amazing how sometimes we can be short-sighted of what God has planned. I always thought we were just going to always just go to Holly Park and it was going to be fun and then we leave. But now every single Sunday, we've got families from Holly Park who are now part of this church family. And it's all because a family and this church family decided to say, look, how can we pour out our cup? How can we pour out our cup? And the thing that I love about that is my kids get to come. My kids get to come. We just play games and have fun. And it's so fun. They get to see a lifestyle of serving. Here's the other thing I want to encourage you to do. This is why we want everybody, the serving idea. We want everybody to join a serve team here at the Fountain. We want everybody to find their place to serve on a serve team here at the Fountain. And it's not because the church just wants something more from you, you know? It's so funny. It's one of those things where a lot of times we're like, I don't want to say yes because I don't want to get roped in and they might ask more and I might have to pour out my cup too much, you know, whatever. It's not because the church wants something from you. It's because we want something for you. I've seen the benefit of what God does in people's lives when they serve. And so I want to encourage you to get plugged in to a serve team. And let me just say, if you are on a serve team here at the Fountain, praise God. Like, you are awesome. Like, I really, really, really mean, you are the engine that drives this church, right? Like, yes, God is the heart of it, right? Yes, prayer is the fuel, but you're the thing that drives it. You drive the train. And here's why it's important. Because, you know, our mission here is to lead people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. But here's the thing I know. Statistically, in every church, this is crazy. People decide in the first 5 to 7 minutes when they walk in the doors of a church if they're ever going to come back. If they're ever going to come back. Is this the place that I want to belong? Is this the place I want to connect? Can I experience Jesus here? 5 to 7 minutes, people have made a decision. And that means before anybody has communicated a message about Jesus, that means a lot of times before even a note is played in the service, people have already decided, is this a place that I can call home? Is this a place where I can meet Jesus? And it just shows that so it's like, okay, what are people looking at? Well, they look at the way that they're welcomed. Thank you to our welcome team for what you do. Thank you for welcoming people the way God first welcomed us. And we don't always get it perfect, and we're sorry if you haven't encountered that. But you know what? That's what we're really passionate about. Thank you for what you do. And they make decisions a lot of times based on the way my kids are treated, and the way my students are treated, you know? Thank you for those who are involved in those ministries. A lot of times it's the look of a space. Like, does it look good? Thanks to our setup and breakdown team. Can we give them a hand for every Sunday what they do? Hey man, this is like the wilderness days where the people of God set up pipe and drape and they would say, okay, God, you're leading us here. You pop it up and you have worship, right? But man, like this looks like a worship space. And I'm a big proponent. This space is a big deal. It's a really big deal because it communicates a message that like, number one, we care about what we do. Number two, it matters. And number three, it's creating a space that's conducive for people to meet Jesus. It's not about curtains. It's about Jesus. Thank you. But it also is like from the way the music sounds when they walk in the doors, thanks to our production team. You know, every team is a part of this. And so it just means that you're not, when you're serving, you're never just holding a door. You're never just holding a baby. You're never just holding a coffee mug or a coffee cup or a program or a microphone or one of those crazy buttons. I don't even know what those are called, but you're never just holding those. When you serve, what you're doing is you're holding something in your hands, an opportunity to pour out your cup for the sake of God and for the sake of others. And you never know what God will do when you're willing to pour out your cup, how God will use that. How are you serving? And let me ask you this. If you're not a part of a serve team, here's a really clear next step. Will you take that step? Will you get involved? Because we want something for you, right? We want you to join and be a contributor to what God is doing here. And we want to encourage you to bring your family along with you, to serve with you, right? That's a big deal. But this principle about pouring out our cup also is not just about serving, but it's also about generosity. And here's the thing, generosity leverages the resources that God has put in our hands for the benefit of God and for the benefit of others. Here's a cool scripture, Proverbs chapter 11. It says this. It says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. It's just this principle that if you pour out your cup in generosity, God has a way of filling it again and again and again and again. So it works like this with generosity. As God fills our cup, right? As God pours into us, we pour out into the lives of others. And it's like, oh no, what happens then, right? Well, God fills our cup again, right? God promises that when we're not like, I don't know if we can have enough, God shows us that I'm enough. Trust me with what you have and I'll fill you. I'll work through you and I'll use you if you're willing to pour out your cup. You know, it's interesting that the principle works the other way, though. It says that if you hold on to all that you have, all that God's put in your hands, if you hoard it, like the show Hoarders, right? It's a spiritual principle that you'll never have enough. It'll never be enough because more is never enough. And it's one of these things where generosity, it just helps to break the bondage or the prison of a me-centered, a selfie-centered life that says, take, 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 me, 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 right? And so we got to pass this down to our families. Because when we're generous, when we give to God, it reminds us that God is our source, that God is our provider, that we can depend on God to fill us, not all of our stuff to fill us. So you never lose when you're generous to God. So pour out your cup with generosity because the impact will radiate for generations to come. Here's what Jesus said. Here's the last scripture we'll look at. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said this, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, it says this. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so here's the thing. We all have a decision to make of how we leverage what God's put in our hands, right? All of us have things that God's put in our hands. And what we don't oftentimes realize is that when we're generous to God, when you invest in the kingdom of God, it's an investment that can actually change someone's life for eternity. In fact, I have to tell you, I have seen, this has not been easy for me. Like, this has been a journey for me. And I have to tell you that when I was in seminary, Mandy and I got married, and we didn't have hardly anything. And we were like, okay, we want to trust God. But I have to tell you, I used to be really stingy. I used to be really nervous and cautious and reluctant because I was like, God, I trust you with other areas, but I don't know if I pour out my cup here if you're going to fill it, you know? And it's one of those things where we started out being a percentage giver, right? You know, we gave a percentage, and it was great. And we learned to trust God. And we grew in that percentage, and we grew in that percentage, and eventually we began tithing, like 10% of our income, which is like, good gracious, how is this happening? Like, we never thought that was possible. And are we crazy? Like, is this right? You know? But we felt honored that we were serving God in that way. To now, Mandy and I, it's crazy. I never thought of myself as being a radically generous person. I never was that. But now in our lives, like now we've grown. And God has just kind of led us more and more to keep taking steps. And now we're giving financially about 20% of our gross income to this church because we believe in what God's doing here. And I tell you that just to say how God works in people's lives, that you, when you start somewhere and when you take a step, you never know how God's going to use you. And it's one of those things, like every single time we've stretched and every time we've taken a step, like the reason we do it is because we believe in what God's doing here and we want to be part of it. And every time we've taken a step, more ministry has been able to happen. And we just find it a complete joy now. I used to be reluctant. Now I'm like, man, I can't wait to give more, right? Because I want to be a part of what God's doing. Because I see what happens, not only in the worship services, but what's happening in the lives of my kids. I see what's happening in the lives of kids and families throughout this church and throughout this community. And I know that Jesus has way more work to do. That Jesus wants to do a whole lot more in families throughout this whole community. And that's why I want to be a part of that. And so, you know, for me and my family, that's meant we've got to live a little more simply. But my kids don't care, you know. It's like, okay, big deal that we don't eat out a few more meals, you know. big deal that they don't have a few more toys. They've got plenty, right? Like, it's so much of a better investment when we invest in the local church, when we invest in eternity by building a legacy in that way. So here's the question. How might you in your life, how might you pour out your cup for the sake of God and for the sake of others? Will you take a step? Will you take a step to become even more generous? Will you pour out your cup in that way? Will you take a step if you're not serving, or maybe even if you're looking for new ways to serve, will you take a step to say, God, how can I pour out my cup even more to serve people around me? Will you take that step? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way you love us and the way you pour into our lives. And I just pray, God, that you would help us to know how much you love us, how much you want to do, not only in our lives, but how much you want to work through our lives. And God, I pray that right now that some of us may be sitting in here and saying, I don't even know what this is all about. Like, what I really need is, God, I need you to fill my cup. And God, I pray that your love and your salvation offer, that we would realize that that extends to every single person. You want to fill our cup, that you want to change us and change our story. And I pray that if anybody in here today needs to take a step with you, I pray that they would have the courage to do that, to step into faith or to take their next step. But God, I pray for all of us today that we would realize that you want to do something huge in our lives, that you want to use us not to be a consumer, but to be a contributor, to find ways to pour out our cup for the sake of God, for the sake of others. How can we serve? How can we be more generous so that we can join you in what you want to do? God, help us to have the courage and the faith to fill our cup and to realize, God, that you're the owner, that you're the one that as we pour out our cup, you fill us once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.